The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, buckle up because here we go. Welcome to the Tuesday Speak Up Table. My name is Barbara and it is me. Oh, why am I saying it's just me? Oh my gosh, I've lost my train of thought. But I had a reason for saying that. But we always have interesting programs for you, and I'm excited about the information that you're going to get today because it's really useful information. We're going to continue our dialogue with the East Bonner County Library staff, and today we have Kimber Glidden. She is our guest. She is the Youth Services Coordinator for the library. And boy, does that cover a lot of areas, children's and teen books and summer reading and so much more. So everybody settle back in, stay with us, and we'll be right back.
We are here with Shane Flory from North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry, answering your questions about aftermarket parts. I hear a lot about OEM parts. What is that?
OEM parts means original manufactured parts, which are made by the manufacturer of your particular vehicle. Honda's Honda parts, Toyota's Toyota parts. Aftermarket parts are made in China, and they don't fit correctly or have the same corrosion protection as the original manufactured parts do. At North Idaho Collision, you can rest assured that we only use OEM parts. We do this to make sure that your car is returned to pre-accident condition, not repaired to a lesser degree.
So if you receive an insurance estimate that includes aftermarket parts, how do you handle that?
That's where we're different than most shops. We cover the cost to put OEM parts back on your car, regardless of what the insurance company pays for.
To learn more about North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonners Ferry, visit them online at nicrepaircenter.com.
Meet Nico and his better half, Sophia.
Hi.
Hello.
They were caught off guard when Nico's shifts were cut and Sophia became a full-time teacher to their three boys. Knowing their rent was past due, they applied for help through Idaho Housing. Their rent got paid and things are looking up. If you find yourself with a financial hardship due to COVID-19, visit idahohousing.com/HPP to apply for rent relief. Rent relief is based on income eligibility and differs by county.
The season is in full swing, and now's the time to get going on your home remodeling projects. Real Estate Rescue is your locally owned company that specializes in everything from remodels to new construction. If you want your building project done right, get in touch with Real Estate Rescue today by calling 208-265-9051 or visit realestaterescue208.com. For home improvement projects, repairs, or general handyman work, call today, 208-265-9051. They're here for you 7 days a week.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Okay, everybody, welcome back in. Our guest today is Kimber Glidden. She is the Youth Services Coordinator for the East Bonner County Library, and we want to welcome you into the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Barbara.
Let's begin with a little bit about your background. You just told me you've been at the library for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a background in education do you have?
Oh, good question. I have a background in finance. I was a bank manager. In Alaska. But prior to that, I actually did work at the library in Soldotna, Alaska. I was the evening librarian there for several years. And then when I went into finance, when I moved my career in that direction, then I sat on the library commission in Kenai. So that was my background before moving here to Sound Point and then getting back into the library sciences.
That is very interesting and very, I think, would think useful for, as youth services coordinator, I don't know how much input you have into budgets and how money is spent on books, but to manage all that and be aware of that part of the library, I think would serve them well for your background.
I do get to weigh in a little bit on that, and especially for my department, but to just be able to have those conversations and to understand the audit processes and things like that has been really helpful, definitely.
Yes. Well, let's just jump in with we're going to look at the programs that are available right now, and some of them are seasonal and some of them are always ongoing, and so I'm interested first up in the summer reading program, what is going on with that and what are the age groups that are being served?
Sure. So summer reading is for everybody. There is the zero through the children's program, which is 0 through 12. And then you can sign up for the teen program if you fall into the category 13 to 18. And then adults is everybody over the age of 18. This year, I've moved away from the extrinsic sort of model of win this prize to more of an intrinsic, so you get to actually win event-type things. You can win the opportunity. I have a magician that does online, teaches you how to do magic tricks, and so you can read to unlock each new video to learn how to do a magic trick, and then at the end of the summer reading season, he's going to do like a big finale in September for us, so that'll be really fun. And then there's other...
That sounds like that's for the kids.
It is for the kids, but I'm not going to say adults can't do that
exactly.
Either. Adults just get to read for a $25 gift card. They still get extrinsic gifts. And then we have a couple of other fun things planned, like kiddos will get to read to have their stuffed animal win an overnight party, and then they'll get a little video or a little picture book of all the fun things their little stuffed animal did overnight at the library. Kind of a library take on Elf on the Shelf.
Yes. I love that.
So we're moving to some of those sorts of things.
I want the adults to do that. You have big teddy bear.
Big teddy bear.
He wants to spend the night in the library.
Then you can win that too.
So lots of encouragement, very creative encouragement for people of all ages to read. How does that work out with the teens? What do you do for them? Because I would think that between the two age groups, so the three age groups, the teens might be the most difficult.
That's very true. The teens can be the hardest. It's not that they're not reading. They don't participate in the programs at the same level when it's going in and tracking those sorts of things. The teens, one year I did Good Chocolate. They read for chocolate. Mm-hmm. Teens can read for chocolate. which sounds really funny, but they did in
Kimber,
Starbucks cards.
Everybody
will read for chocolate. So, but still, they do like things that allow them to have an opportunity to make a memory. So we are having, we're doing the make a video, and then you can submit your video of your summer, like you can choose a story. Mm-hmm. This year's theme is tales and tales, so they can submit a little video that they've created, and then they'll win a prize for that.
You know, kind of one of the urban myths out there, and I'm going to call it for now an urban myth until you straighten me out, and that is that a lot of, and I'll just start with teenagers, they move very fast. They're used to lots of fast-moving video and TV, and they're just not into the written word.
I don't find that. We have a pretty consistent checkout month-to-month amount of the materials that circulate. They really do still enjoy books. What we are seeing, though, is them migrating more toward like ebooks or e-audio books. And that is just because a lot of people are reading on their devices now.
You know, I can't tell you how much that encourages me as a teacher, former teacher, and I love books, to know that there still is that love of a book. I mean, that it's coming digital. You know, we were talking before the air that that we are both in that area also with Audible books. I mean, I read books still, but I love to listen to Audible books when I walk or when I'm just doing things around the house. And honestly, there are strange male voices that read me to sleep every night. They put me to sleep with an Audible book, and then I have to back up and figure out what chapter I was in. Yeah. But I understand that the digital has really taken over, and that's good.
Yeah. And I find the e-audio books as well are great if it's technical or more complicated material, or if you have reluctant or struggling readers, because it can help them find a cadence. So if they have a hard time finding the rhythm of a story when it's being read to them, sometimes that really helps. And if you can get a kid into a series, even if that first one is read to them, when they go in and read it to themselves, they're hearing it almost in that other voice. And that takes away some of that, the shock of, I don't understand how to read this, or I don't, I'm not getting into this. And then eventually they find their own voice. And that's really great.
Yeah, that is a really very good observation. I mean, it does, we all learn to read by someone reading to us. So it makes a lot of sense that for any kind of a reader, young or a reluctant reader, or someone who might be a little bit challenged, that to hear the words and, as you say, the cadence of the words would encourage them and make them, give them the confidence they need.
Yeah, I
love that. Well, we've already kind of dipped into technology, so let's go into that a little bit further.
Sure.
You were talking about, well, first of all, I have Libby on my phone. So explain to our audience what that is, and then we'll go into the other option they might have.
Oh, sure. So Libby is an app that you can download onto your phone or your device, and you can use your library card and password to sign up, and then you get to check out materials through that service, through the Libby service. We also have Overdrive. Libby and Overdrive kind of work very similarly, hand in hand. I use Overdrive. I'm on an iPhone, an Apple iPhone, and I find that it works better. However, I do have some people like yourself who use Libby because you're on an Android, and they seem to probably work a little better on Android.
I only use Libby on my Samsung because that's the only app that I knew about, and I'm just learning now about Overdrive. So Libby is the app for just the East Bonner County Library.
It is for the East Bonner County Library, but we are part of a library consortium now, so you'll be able to borrow books from, I do believe we are up through Libby.
I think
we're up to 7 different library districts now that are through that. So you just have to go in and find it. And I think on Overdrive it says partnership libraries. And then you can go in and you can click on each one of those and search for books as well. So it's really opened up the amount of titles, the number of titles. There's so many more children's books and young adult books on there now as well. So.
And I can, through, now just staying with Libby for a moment, I can get both an ebook up on my little phone or on my laptop, or an Audible.
Correct.
You can get magazines. You can look at magazines.
Yes.
You can look at anything. You can research.
Yeah.
And do research through Libby. Tell me why I would want to explore Overdrive. Is there an advantage for whatever the Overdrive application is for Android? Is there something better about Overdrive than Libby? Something extra?
I don't think that there's anything extra or better. Libby is through Overdrive, so it's a similar program. I think that they really are just, one operates better on one type of system.
Okay.
But go in and explore them both. Sometimes it just is a matter of which one is easier for you to navigate.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you for that. Definitely. I don't know if I'll do it this afternoon, but you can bet this weekend I'll be looking around on Overdrive to see what we have. Well, we started off talking about reading programs. I want to come back to that and talk to you or have you talk to us about the adult reading and the 25 gift certificate. Mm-hmm. How does that work? How does that encourage? What do adults do to receive that?
So in order for, I kind of coordinate with Mike Bauer, our lifelong learning, because he does more of the adult stuff. And so for adults, I'm not going to say a raffle. What is it?
A drawing.
A drawing. It is a drawing. Yep. So you read in every time you read a book, that book, your name gets entered into a raffle. So the more you read, it increases your chances of winning the raffle.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And is it any book, or does it have to be some kind of a book or certain genres of book?
No, anything? Reading is reading. Yeah. If it is a book, it counts. We're hoping as an adult, though, that you're not counting, you know, one fish, two fish.
Right. I hope not. You could maybe track that on their reading history. I don't know.
I don't know. Unless you're reading it to a little person and that's the only book that they want to read all summer long, then maybe you should get some sort of bonus prize for that.
Bonus prize for patience.
Yes, exactly.
Well, so you're in charge of children's and teen books. Mm-hmm. Do you select books for, I mean, do you, you know, set forward the books that you would like to see them read and purchase those books? And
Not so much as how, so I do have standing book orders through some publishing houses. So they come up, they send to us books that we have gone through and said, you know, we want this number of history books. We want this number of picture books, popular authors for children, you know, because they always write in series. So we make sure that those newest materials are always coming in and they're just on kind of like an auto ship. And I can go in and make sure that we don't have too many or that sort of thing. Another thing I do is I take requests. We have several community members mm-hmm. who are excellent at giving requests, and sometimes the request leads me down a rabbit hole and I find all kinds of other wonderful book titles that way. And then we read book reviews and whatnot. So it's kind of all of those things, and it's not necessarily books that I want kids to read. Mm-hmm. I try to keep very, very current, and then I try to keep very much to a balance of classics and literature and new materials, as well as things that are part of a core collection. So mm-hmm. we do also have books that we look at to make sure that we have a core collection.
Yeah, you were anticipating, I think, my next question, and that was it, that, you know, how do you balance between the classics and the books that really, if parents are paying attention, they really, at formative years, mm-hmm. you want your children and your teens and yourself as an adult to make sure you're reading. But it's always fun to read the new stuff, too.
Right. Yeah. And that's just kind of it. We look at what is going to be required in schools mm-hmm. to make sure we have copies of those books. So when students come in, that they have those available to them. For some of the classics, I will look also to see if there's an age-appropriate telling of that story, like Classic Starts, that tells all of the classics, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, but it's for juniors, and just really, it's accessible to them. So that's kind of also how we look at it and make sure that they're kind of relevant now, not written necessarily in the old English that nobody understands.
Yeah, well, Chaucer. Somebody has to translate Chaucer. Do you have, like, when you look at the books that get checked out, mm-hmm. I mean, do you review, these are the titles, these are just flying off the shelf, we can't keep them, they're always on hold, and these mm-hmm. other books are just sitting there.
Yes.
What kind of analysis do you do, and what kind of decisions do you make from that? And what are some of the most popular? That's about a three-part question, and the least popular. So how do you analyze that?
So we really do just look at checkout statistics and look at those holds, how many books we have on hold. Big Nate in the junior section. Very, very popular. Very hard to keep Big Nate on the shelf. So I might have several copies of any of the Big Nate books. Wings of Fire is another one. Harry Potter, Percy Jackson, anything by Rick Riordan. Some of those are just rarely there. You're just going to put them on hold, even though we might have four or five copies. And they've stayed popular. They mm-hmm. they have not, we still do not see a diminish in how often they check out. Other titles, some of them, they're just very popular for the moment, mm-hmm. you know. And you just see genres even, like some summers it's like, oh, it's all about like summer beach romance. And then they'll never check out again after mm-hmm. that. And then, you know, so those things, if they sit on the shelf, usually for more than 5 years, we weed them and then they go into the Friends of the Library book sale. Mm-hmm. So it kind of comes full circle. And then that way we keep our valuable shelf real estate for the newer and more popular titles.
Yeah, exactly. How many books do you have in the library? Approximately.
I have no idea. That's a trick question.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It just popped into my head.
Oh my gosh, tens of thousands.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then not even counting digital, it would even
go up from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
much more.
All right. Well, listen, we're up against a break. We're going to take that right now. Everybody, we will be right back after this.
Have you visited Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grünberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
Now is the time to gear up and get those spring projects together. Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you. Spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel or desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all of your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive prices, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out their website, tntbeams.com.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. Racing in Findlay Stadium at State Line Speedway is back this Saturday night for the Sneva Memorial Open Wheel Extravaganza. Enjoy all the action of the Inland Wing Sprint and Wesco, the Nostalgia Modifieds, the West Coast Modifieds, the West Coast Vintage Racers, and the Early Stocks. Gates open at 5 p.m. Opening ceremonies and racing starts at 7. For tickets, make a pit stop at the website, raceidaho.com.
Ah, I love family road trips. Wind in my ears.
Good.
Fruits in my mouth. And peace of mind knowing Les Schwab did our tires, brakes, and alignment. Like Les Schwab, my family's safety is my first priority.
Save up to $200 when you bundle select tires, brakes, and shocks. And as always, get a free pre-trip safety check. Les Schwab Tires. Limited time offer while supplies last. Discount applies to a set of four select tires and depends on tire size and type. Cannot combine with other offers. Details at leschwab.com/sale.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome in. We are all about the library today, East Bonner County Library. It's wonderful staff, and we have one of those staff persons with us today, Kimber Glidden. She is the Library Youth Services Coordinator. Lots of information. I am loving all the information about the summer reading. It's so creative of what you're doing to help encourage reading at every age level, from little kids to us adults. So I appreciate that very much. So thinking about especially children, for age appropriateness, how does a parent come into the library and figure out where they can find age appropriate books and materials for their, let's say, 3-year-old?
Sure. So when you the way that the library collection is set up is, so picture books, which would be where you would be looking for a 3-year-old, they are all in one area, and then they're categorized in there. So let's say your 3-year-old is very, very much into cats. So I have picture books, and they're in a category, and they're set with cats. And then there's also the animals category, or there's kids and things, or activities and learning, or if you want, you know, she likes princesses, then there's a princess section. And then, like, let's say, because you had mentioned that you have a niece that's about 5 years old, but she's reading a little bit above age level. So in that case, I would recommend you go to the section in the children's section, but it's easy read, and they're very simple chapter books for those that have leveled out of just a traditional picture book and are looking to head into their own reading on their own chapter book type thing. So those are called easy read. And then after they start to master those a little bit, then you can move them over to the junior section. And that is, beginning chapter books all the way up to things that, well, even I like to read some of the junior fiction because they're just so character driven and they have such fun stories, you know. Who doesn't love a good skullduggery pleasant novel?
Exactly.
And then from there, then you would move into young adult. And sometimes it's not necessarily reading level that you're looking for, but some of the themes and concepts. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that's what will move a book from one category into another, a little bit, you know, bigger theme where it's talking about whether social constructs or family constructs, things like that, but on that next level. And so sometimes not necessarily how complicated the material is to read, but it's just the context that you're looking at it in. And so sometimes that is why you'll find them like that.
You know, you mentioned for the picture books for the younger, the 3 and 4 year olds, even the 2 year olds that you're reading to, might like animals, but that can go all the way up through. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just read ever more sophisticated or complicated books about animals or horses or you know, whatever they're loving. And the second age group up from the picture books you mentioned was easy read. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that these come often with chapters. That is exactly the request I got from my niece. Like, she's ready, Aunt Barbara, to read chapters. She was very definite about it. Oh, good. She knew about it. Mm-hmm. And that was the book or the books that she wants. So what is it? What is happening in their reading abilities that they start wanting chapters?
You know, that's a really good question that I don't have a definitive answer to. But part of it is that sense of I'm not a baby anymore. Mm. And it looks more like what adults are reading. Again, it's that moving forward in concepts. They're able to put concepts together from words, not just from pictures, even though some of the easy read books give cues with pictures still. So they still get some pictures in there to help move them through the story. But now we're moving to more the written word instead of picture. So it's just that development of tying bigger concepts together.
This is just really good for parents to take advantage of these steps and stages and to understand where their children, their young kids are reading at, because that will, it just seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Kimber, that if you give a child a book that's just too difficult, it's just, really past their ability, even though you want to teach them or you want to encourage them, I think you will discourage them, and they will not like reading because they feel like they're failing at it. Does that happen?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's important for parents to understand when their children are very little, they might get stuck on a book. And that can be difficult as a parent. Like if you give a moose a muffin, we read that apart very literally 4 times in my house. I had to replace that book because my little boy, moose a muffin, moose a muffin. And I was like, please, anything but give a moose a muffin. But it's what they're doing is they're looking for those patterns, which is also why kids like books when they're beginning to read that have those reoccurring themes. There's a story walk up right now in McNierney Park about Ragweed the farm dog. You'll want to go over there, take that walk and read that story, but it has a lot of those. That's not your job, that's their job. And it's like on almost every page, but that really gets kids into that seeing and recognizing those patterns. So they're fun to read.
So tell us about these story walks. Where does this one begin that you were referring to?
So the McNierney Park is over behind the animal shelter. And so it just starts over by where the playground is, and then it just kind of like walks down through. There's like a little forested part where you can ride your bicycle or take a walk, and there's story walk kiosks, and there's one page of the story on each kiosk, and you can walk and read. And then by the time you've finished the walk, you've also finished the story.
What's the age for this one that you're referring to, more or less? Is that
every single person on the planet should read this book? I read it to my 16-year-old son.
What's the name? Okay, I'm going to have to write it down. What's the name of this book? Ragweed?
What? Ragweed. The Farm Dog Handbook or something like that, I do believe, but it's an adorable story. So there's picture books are for everybody. There's literally, I suppose this is going to be at about a 4 or 5 year old, you know.
But, I love it. Ragweed Farm Dog.
Oh my gosh,
I'm going to go read
one,
it.
Yes.
Well, it's what we like magazines as adults. Mm-hmm. That's why it's got pictures. Yeah. It's got stories.
This is not a funny story.
It's not hard to figure out. Well, I could talk about reading all day with you, but we've got other areas to cover. First of all, gardening. I know this might not be your bailiwick, but tell us about what's happening with gardening at the library this summer. Gardening?
Yes. I give you this look like, aw. For those of you that can't see us. So we have a beautiful garden going in at the library, and it's got some water features in there. But we're still a little bit in that construction mode to make sure that it's safe and that there's good seating for everybody. We have some new plantings going in, some artwork, but we're hoping, I think it's by the end of June, that they have it open for the grand opening and be open to the public.
Okay. So this is a gardening just to enjoy and sit and have like a peaceful meditative place where you can look and see, or can people actually, are people going to plant, kids plant something in or no?
Next year, we're hoping to have gardening programs. But by the time it's ready to open this year, it'll be very late in the season and most likely very much too hot.
All right. We'll put that on our to-be-revisited list because I think that is just a super, super wonderful
thing. That's like
thing.
A stay tuned.
That's stay tuned,
Barbara.
Exactly. I will. I love it. I'll check it out on my walks because I walk a lot in that area. All right. Tutoring programs. When I talked with Ann Nichols, was on here a couple of months ago, I did not know that you had tutoring programs. I want to revisit it because I think everybody in Bonner County and Boundary County, everybody needs to know that this is available. Explain how it works to our audience.
Okay. So this actually, it's really an amazing program that we have that I really do think that the community is super blessed to have. We have a great number of volunteers who volunteer their time to come in and assist people with anything that they might need help with. If you want to learn to speak French, you can contact Mike Bauer at our Lifelong Learning Center and say, I would like to learn how to speak French. Do you have any French-speaking tutors? And he will send out the message and try to find one. Same with math, with sciences, with English. It's available to anybody, so not just children. It can be, you know, English as a second language. There's so many opportunities for that to work out for you. So please just call and ask if there's somebody that we have that will volunteer. Mike's very good about pairing volunteers with people who need tutoring, and it's free of charge. There is no charge for the service.
There's no charge for the service, no charge for the room.
No.
The teachers, the tutors are not allowed to be paid.
Correct.
It's completely free service. It's an amazing thing. Now, you've mentioned mostly academic, you know, math, science, learning French. What about if a person wanted to improve their skills with vegan cooking? I need vegan cooking tutoring to help me do a better job with that. Is that, it's not academic. How about play a ukulele or something like that? Is that possible?
I'm not going to say no, but again, we don't have, how would we teach vegan cooking at the library? We don't have a kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, so at that point it would be like, well, is there somebody on staff who, or like that's volunteering that is a vegan, and would they be willing to give tips and pointers to somebody? Yeah. I would say you would have to call Mike and ask for that. I know that we have had people who've done some music tutoring in the past, but it's not something that I see often, but I have seen it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think Mike Bauer, the lifelong learning guy, he's on my list now to bring him in here.
He's pretty awesome. You should bring him.
Awesome. I will. I'll bring you guys both together. You're both awesome. I appreciate your time very much. One of the things I saw when I was on your website and I was looking at the tutoring program, a lot of your, not masks, but a lot of your pandemic or COVID-19 restrictions were still in place, it looked like, but I didn't know. So I thought I would ask if those have been updated. For example, only one person can be in the room and they have to be from the same household. I didn't understand that. And it wanted for Zoom study a lot. It can be one-on-one, face-to-face, people to person-to-person in a tutoring environment.
Yes, yes. But during COVID, we had Zoom meetings, or there were precautions that were put in place. As of June 1st, those had been lifted. Okay. However, the Zoom is here to stay. People love it, and it allows them to, you know, attend when they might not be otherwise able to attend, whether it be a program or a tutoring session, things like that. So those are still going to remain an option for
and
people
think,
if they like that.
And I agree with that. Yeah. I think they should, because it seems like it might go both ways. You could have your tutor in Coeur d'Alene or Spokane,
correct,
if it was, you know, something. And you could be in the tutoring room, if I'm understanding this correctly, at the library. And you could be a Zoom. How many people, I mean, how big are the tutoring rooms? Could a couple of parents get together and say, my two kids in year one, these three kids need math tutoring this summer? I mean, can you have three kids in a room? Is it
the rooms are not big enough for that. They're really are set up more for just one-on-one.
For one.
We have two rooms that you might be able to get a couple of students in. But that they're really more set up for one-on-one type.
I'm really glad I asked that, because that's what I understood from reading on the website. I thought, well, maybe that's just a COVID thing that is still reading in
they're
place.
They're for more personalized.
It's really one-on-one tutoring.
It's more personalized than that, for definitely, and the spaces are set up for personal tutoring.
The other thing that is for career development, I mean, I think I want our audience to be thinking in terms of not just, and this is from the website, that not just for kids and not just, you know, to get their English and their math over the summer and keep them ready to get back into school in the fall would be one way of using it, but adults in career development. can be tutored in certain areas.
Absolutely.
That would help them get promoted and help them move into either another career or up the ladder of their career.
Yeah, and that's also, that's true. We do have volunteers that do help with that. Something else is to look at our digital library, because there are resources on our digital library to help with that very thing.
All right, everybody, we're up against another break. Don't go away, because we've got a lot more stuff for you, meeting rooms and lots of other information for you. So we'll be right back.
Have you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grunberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
This is for those who always show they care, who told their kids everyone 12 and older is eligible for a COVID vaccine, those who explained to their cousins that vaccines prevent nearly 100% of hospitalizations and deaths from COVID-19. This is for the ones protecting those they love. Thank you.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov, paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
We can sum up McDonald's new crispy chicken sandwich in one word: crispy. But also juicy and tender. Maybe crispy, juicy, tender, all one word? Okay, fine. You'll just have to try our crispy chicken sandwich to understand it.
Now get medium crispy golden fluffy fries for free when you buy one of our new crispy chicken sandwiches. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal. Not available on McDelivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Ever wonder what life would be like without frozen drinks and slushies from McDonald's? Yeah, I don't want to think about that either. It's more than a drink. It's a McDonald's drink.
Recharge and refresh with frozen drinks like the new frozen Dr. Pepper. Or try a Minute Maid slushie like the new strawberry watermelon flavor. Get any small for just $1.69. Only at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Limited time only.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their heads?
We play! Yeah!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
97.1 FM is North Idaho's radio.
Hey, everybody, we've got it going on right here for you with Kimber Glidden. She's with the East Bonner County Library, and she has got several different programs that she wants to tell us about and for you to get in on. This is summer stuff, fun stuff, good stuff going on for you. And the first one is a local author program.
Local author story time.
Story time.
I know, it's actually amazing the number of really awesome children's authors we have right here in Bonner County. So starting on June 19th at 10 o'clock in the morning, we're going to lead off with Pam Webb, who's going to read her Someday We Will book. And what's really fun about this is the kids get to meet the authors. They get to see them read their own books. Then the authors are going to lead us in craft. So like for Pam, she's going to be making a someday jar with us. And then if you bring your copy, or she'll have copies of her book available at the library, then she will be doing autographs. And it's just really neat to watch the kiddos, like to really meet an author. Their eyes, they get so excited about that.
Is this an age group that we want our listeners and parents to focus in on?
Kiddos, these are picture books. So okay. We're, you know, littler people. I would say probably 3 to 7 or 8. You can go all the way up to that age, because that's the age that 8-year-old is really going to understand that this is a person who wrote this book,
yes.
who took it through publication.
And the craft part will
the
grab
craft
them
part.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So check us out on the ebonnerlibrary.org events page. Or look for posters. You can come into the library, but we have got all the way through October. We have a new author every month, so really good.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. What about the rock program?
Oh, okay. So libraries rock. So this is, it's part virtual, it's part in person. We have Professor Neil, who joins us from the East Coast. He does museum exhibits is what he does. So we have Oceans Rock coming up in July. And again, just visit our website on the events page to look for more information on that. But he is a paleontologist, and we've already done dinosaurs rock and insects rock. Very, very popular. Oceans Rock, he has like some really great stuff on sharks. And so the kids get to interact with him via video. And then we have fun activities and things like that we do. So, and that's for a little bit older kids. We're looking at that tween age group for those, because there is so much interaction. And like we did some microscope work and some dissecting and whatnot for the insects rock. So
I think you might get some adults that would enjoy that.
It's very cool.
It's really
a super fun. And the kids love Professor Neil. Yeah. He's hilarious.
Yeah. All right. I love that. So that's called the Rock Program. The program that's coming up is Oceans Rock.
Oceans Rock.
Oceans Rock.
Oceans Rock.
And do we have a date for that?
That one is, we do. Oceans Rock is on Wednesday, July 14th at 10 a.m.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, the name that really gets my interest, Steam to Go.
Steam?
I can't even imagine what that is, Kimber.
Science, technology, engineering, arts, and math to go.
So
we actually now have these amazing kits for checkout. So if you are a library card holder, you can come, you can check these kits out, you can take them home, you can do all of these fun projects with your kiddos. And like some of them, we have some that have coding and robotics. So you actually program this adorable little robot and you get to do that. There's art projects, there's mathematical projects, whether it's patterning or finance, things like that. And those are pre-K all the way up through, I would have to say 7th or 8th grade, and the kits are listed as the age group that they're appropriate for. But those are now available, and we have almost 40 kits that will be that are available for checkout.
So let me understand. The 40 kits have got all the different kinds of exercises and things to do, or mm-hmm. each kit is unique in and of itself?
Each one is unique in and of itself.
Okay.
So if you have somebody who's interested in outdoor exploration and, you know, being a naturalist, we've got a kit for that. If you have somebody who's more involved in wanting to do coding and robotics, we have a kit for that. If you have somebody who's interested in structural engineering, there's a kit for that.
Steam to Go, and STEAM is science, technology, engineering,
art,
and
math.
Math.
So these are really super fun, comprehensive kits that are available for checkout.
This is homeschool heaven here.
Homeschool heaven, absolutely.
This is what parents needed. I don't know, maybe it's been available for quite a while. Is this brand new?
This is brand new.
Oh, my gosh. They needed this a year ago.
Yeah.
Maybe this is where it came from.
This is actually where it has come from. And we are getting ready to add more early literacy kits. So kind of the same thing, great mm-hmm. for homeschoolers or just somebody who wants to avoid the summer slide.
Yeah.
And then phonics kits as well.
Oh,
so
excellent.
Those are in the process of being
excellent.
Put out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know,
look forward to
and
that.
It's not just homeschool moms and dads, because here's what I think. We've got just a little bit of time for this, seconds. And that is whether you're homeschooling your kid or your child is in a private school, a Christian school, or public school or charter school, you need, as a parent, to augment their education. You need to be involved. You need to be getting books, these Steam to Go kits, you know, get them in to see the Oceans Rock event,
oh, yeah.
you know, to augment the education wherever they're getting this education.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
The library is homeschool and adult and everybody's heaven. Thank you so much,
thank you for having
Kimber,
me,
for being here. I appreciate it so very, very much. Next week, the Lions Club is going to be here. We're going to talk about the Lions Club and their great 4th of July and all their great programs. Until then, this is Barbara saying take care of yourself and be blessed.
KQ46EU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry.